Oh, you look at it. You look at it. You know, well, that's a friendly reminder of what happened. One, two, how they played you in that game and stuff like that. You know, but that was a while ago. So you glance at it, learn from it, and then look at the last few games to get a better feel of what they're doing.
Just to recap, here's what Bruno Giacomini and company did in week one against Jacksonville. They allowed 10 sacks, and they allowed 15 quarterback hits in that week one matchup in which the Jaguars won 29-7. 10 sacks, 15 quarterback hits against Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson.
I think that one by Yannick Ngakoue is still one of the 10 fastest sacks this year, too.
I
would imagine a lot of those other fastest sacks came on blitzes, safety blitzes, things where guys came completely free. Not this one.
No.
If I recall, right? Was it
a Kendall Lamb special?
Was it a Kendall Lamb or an XFO?
I think it might have been a Kendall Lamb.
It was a Kendall Lammer. We'll have to go
another
back and watch
one,
that.
Another one. The Texans are also responsible for another one. Do you remember the one in Los Angeles with that dude number 50? Like, his name is S something. His name starts with an S.
Is that still on there?
That's
still one of the fastest
sacks?
That's
top 10 where Savage didn't see the dude coming and he just, like, smashed him.
Oh, that one?
That one's up there, too.
That was an ugly
top
one.
Top 10.
That's a great thing about the Texans is... Their offensive line, when they get beat, they end it quickly. It's like a quick death.
They set records.
They're not stabbing you in the gut. They're slashing your throat.
Yes.
You die a merciful death if you're the quarterback.
You're not wiggling around in the the guillotine.
not screaming in some corner with blood all over the place. No. Ah! You die with honor.
You're dead
when you get sacked by that. And that's my complaint about Xavier Suofilo a lot of times. He has impressive plays, but those impressive plays come... This is what happens with offensive linemen. A lot of times they'll have physically impressive plays, and this used to frustrate me as a defensive. It frustrates you as a defensive lineman in practice, especially because you're not allowed to go to the ground. An offensive lineman who's overly aggressive will have some good plays because he's playing more aggressively and physically than he really should. He's not playing within his own capabilities. So in the run game, he'll have some good plays. The problem with that kind of play is that when you whiff hard and you get beat really fast. And that's what happens to Xavier Suofilo. He doesn't play within the confines of his own ability. And I don't know if the confines of his own ability are good enough to be a good offensive lineman. But you see that a lot with these guys. They whiff. And when you whiff, especially when you have three guys whiff on one play, it looks really, really bad. And that's what you get.
Here are a few things I wrote down last night about this game on Sunday. Texans-Jaguars. What matters? One, do they have a chance? I kind of feel like this is one where Jacksonville is aiming to clinch a playoff spot for the first time in a decade. So I'm sure it'll be a pretty good environment in Jacksonville like it was last Sunday against Seattle. Can Clowney find a way to reach 10 sacks?
Yeah.
Can Yates rekindle whatever happened in the first two drives where he came in against the 49ers? Can the offensive line not utterly die in this game against basically the same very explosive Jaguars front seven? The Jaguars, they've lost one game of a starter to injury on defense this season. That's it.
Really?
One.
Oh, that makes me feel better for the future.
Telvin Smith last week. That's
it. That doesn't hold up.
Yep.
You know, remember the Texans in 2012, they were extremely healthy on defense. 2011 or 2012?
2012.
In 2012, they were extremely healthy on defense. 2011, you're right, they hadn't been healthy on defense. 2012, they were extremely healthy on defense, and then it kind of all fell apart. This health is good for several games. Your overall health has a war of four games in the NFL.
Yep.
Like, if you stay extremely healthy, you might win three or four games more than you probably should compared to the average team. So if you're extremely healthy in one given year, you kind of play above your pay scale. I don't know what that means for the Jaguars because, look, they're loaded up with a lot of young players. I think even if their overall record is maybe a little bit better than it should be, I would still expect them to actually improve next year, depending on what happens at the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I think they're very good. I really do.
We've got one of our listeners said this.
What did he say?
He says, no way in hell Jacksonville would trade Fournette for the chance to draft Watson. A great running game and a defense will win you championships more than a quarterback and defense.
Is that true?
No, I don't think it is. It's true every now and then. But if you go back and look at the Super Bowl champions year in and year out, generally... Many, many more times than not, they've got a pretty damn good quarterback back there. So winning with Blake Bortles a Blake Bortles caliber quarterback is extremely difficult. If you want to do it, then yeah, you've got to do it with a good running game and an awesome, awesome defense. But go ahead and just stack up your odds with that versus having somebody like Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson or, you know, Tom Brady or Drew Brees. Your chances are just a whole lot better with a quarterback.
Here's the problem with these running backs is, as great as a running back can be that you take in the top five, and Fournette's a tremendous player, and Ezekiel Elliott's a tremendous player, but the thing about those guys is you can find that position in much lesser, how should I put this? You can invest a lot less in running back and still get pretty good results.
Right.
That's the misconception on that one, because you can find, and here's the thing about Fournette. Fournette, to me, the question about him coming into the NFL was injuries. If you watch Fournette closely, he's one of those guys who's always getting up like with a slight limp, and you're not sure if he's always playing pretty close to 100%. And
going back to college.
Yes.
You know, it's not, this isn't just like some guy that was healthy all the time and maybe just had a freak injury or something. And I almost, you almost feel better about a guy like Frank Gore when he was younger, because at least when he got injured, they were like real actual injuries versus the guy that's injured all the time. One you can rehab and get back and out and get better. The other is you just never know. Can you count on that guy? But to test this myth that somehow all you need is a good running game and an awesome defense, then you can win Super Bowl after Super Bowl. I suppose this guy might be thinking of the Seattle Seahawks when they won, but that with a rookie Russell Wilson. I think you're discounting the things that Russell Wilson was able to do. He was helped out a lot by the fact that they had a good rushing attack, but to pretend that like somehow the Seahawks could have won that Super Bowl with Blake Bortles back there because they had Marshawn Lynch and a good rushing attack, that's just utter nonsense. The situations that Russell Wilson is able to bail them out of on third down alone as a rookie quarterback, even though he was passing less than any other quarterback in the league, it still was a whole lot of Russell Wilson.
All right, realistically, let's say you did a redraft right now of the 2017 NFL draft. Where's Deshaun Watson going?
Oh, well,
he's probably going number one.
Yeah.
He's probably going to go number one, right? I mean, unless I'm totally
missing
something.
A quarterback is just still too valuable.
Yeah.
I was talking to a concussion researcher yesterday.
Okay.
And, boy.
Because you had your checkup.
Yeah.
You okay?
Well, I'm getting a bunch of stuff. I'm having brain scans done and everything. It's all cool. I'm trying to contribute to the database.
Right.
I feel pretty good for the most part. I've been batty this way my whole life, you know. So it's not cumulative trauma necessarily
that's
led to
thing.
Anything. Yeah. So but they need more data.
Okay.
Because honestly, there's a whole lot of freaking out or denial on either side of the equation, and they just need more data. So I went in Dr. Sandra Ott over there at the Iron Man Sports Medicine Institute. But talking about the way the concussion protocol is, or the standards for when you need to take an athlete out of the game, in various states in high school, it's way stricter than it is in the NFL. And given the situations with guys like Savage, I just think it's going to come to a time real quickly where your quarterback gets hit in the head. There is no, like, screen him on the sideline. He's out for a good chunk of time until, think about, like, Tom Savage. How long did it take for those concussion symptoms to appear? But they're also, you know what they're also doing? They're working on a blood test. There's certain inflammatory markers that show up immediately with a brain injury. And there's one group that's trying to figure out if they can just diagnose it with, like, a finger prick on the sideline. So you'd be able to tell very, very quickly if there's evidence of a brain injury.
Well, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then there's no like, okay, yeah, you got lucky on the test, or you just managed to go through the months backwards
or
whatever.
Remembered, and it's
objective. And then it's objective too. If they can come up with something like that, that's objective. And there's no, well, I can't believe the medical experts sent him back in.
That's a good sign. I like that.